I love troubleshooting server issues. Said no e-commerce entrepreneur ever. And that's why I'm personally migrating my stores to Shopify. Since Shopify is a hosted service, I can worry about growing my business versus troubleshooting problems, like a Magento problem I had that logged every single customer interaction and brought my site to a standstill. I wouldn't have wasted a day troubleshooting that on Shopify. And compared to other hosted carts, Shopify has the largest ecosystem of developers and apps and the best architected design framework. Officially retire as a system admin, Shopify.com. Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Ederian. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about our biggest e-commerce wins. A couple weeks ago, I chatted about my personal biggest mistakes and regrets I'd made in e-commerce and didn't want to make Bill go through all the suffering and angst that would cause him, so I did it solo, but wanted to bring him on, of course, to go over both of our biggest e-commerce wins. So Bill, how you doing, man?
Doing good. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, of course. Always good to have you on. And it's going to be interesting to hear. I, of course, know some of what yours are, but we have different ones. We've got, I think we have very different kind of complementary e-commerce backgrounds. So this will be cool to do. But before we dive in, of course, I want to do a first sell shout out. And this one's going out to Carol Rains from rusticartistry.com and emubliss.com. And Carol is one of our, actually, one of our private forum members, the Pinterest queen. She knows a ton about Pinterest, and it's originally joined as the founder of Rustic Artistry, and she's been growing up emubliss.com. And she wrote in just to say, I've been selling my EmuBliss skincare and body care products on Amazon since November. I did 10K in sales in December, which was awesome. And I finally launched our own website to sell the products in late December. I've done absolutely zero to promote the website, but somehow got a sale on our own independent website on December 30th. Thanks for all the excellent training you facilitated through the forum. It's really helped both EmuBliss and Rustic Artistry. So Carol, that's awesome. Stoked for you. It's one thing to sell on Amazon. It's another to get your own sale, of course, on your own website. That's really cool. So appreciate everything you contribute in the forum on Pinterest and otherwise, and looking forward to seeing EmuBliss continue to take off.
Really cool to see Carol on here. I remember talking to her at the e-commerce conference months ago about her just getting started, and I've been helping her on some stuff. So congrats to Carol. That's really cool.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that. Have you been kind of giving her some tips on the Amazon front?
On the Amazon front and on the, because it's a skincare product that she's doing. So I was kind of helped her with labeling and manufacturing and stuff like that.
Of course. Of course. That's awesome. Okay. Let's go ahead and dive into today's discussion on our biggest e-commerce wins. So Bill, I'm going to let you take this first one, your first one, which we've had limited success with, partly because we just haven't executed as well as we should. But for you, it's been a game changer, email marketing.
Oh man, big win for me. Huge. So I hadn't done for years any email marketing. And I was like, oh, it's kind of obnoxious. You know, I hate it. I hate getting emails from brands, and you know, I got to put in the time every week to do it. Really, the only email marketing I would do is we would send, you know, maybe once every month or 2 months, a special, a coupon. And then I have a good friend named Brad Kopis, also a forum member, and he used to work for skis.com and Active Junkie. And also there's another company here, Artifact Uprising. He does all of their online marketing. And we became buds. I actually met on the forum, but he was in Denver, and we became real life friends as well as internet friends, which is cool. And so, you know, we would go out for beers, and he would be like literally pounding on the table going, you have to do better email marketing. Like, you're leaving so much money on the table. And I was like, you know, vacillating. And finally I gave in to Brad, and I hired him to do my email marketing. I said, fine, you do it. Here's some money if you think it's such a good idea. And so we started sending once a week, no coupons, just reminding people, you know, hey, here we are. Here's our brand. Here's a couple of featured products. Here's some cool text about, you know, our ingredients or a shot from our warehouse, you know, or just something to remind people that you exist. And we've now been doing email marketing once a month for over a year for Nurture My Body. And email drives about 30% of our website revenue.
Wow.
Direct clicks from email. Straight through. No coupons, no deals, no discounts. Just see the email. Oh, yeah, I remember Nurture My Body. Click through and buy. A huge transformative win for us, and one that really took me a while to see the value of, but I wish I had figured it out sooner.
That is crazy. So, and not giving away tons of margin with coupons, is it? I mean, obviously 30% is enormous, and you go to quite a lot of inconvenience and hassle to drive that. But month after month, I guess you do it monthly. I was thinking you did it weekly.
We do weekly. Now we do weekly.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been doing weekly for a year now.
Yeah. Do you feel, is it a struggle every week to put something together? It doesn't feel like you've sent out two or three times before. I think that's a problem. Like one of the biggest mindset issues with a lot of people, myself included.
Yes, I outsourced it all, so it doesn't. Yeah. But yeah, I do feel like it gets repetitive. Like I mean, obviously, I get my own emails, and yeah, I feel like it gets a little repetitive sometimes. And it's, you know, I think we could do a better job. I think we're not even doing as good a job as we could be doing. But still, like week after week, the emails go out, and I see thousands of dollars come in, even though it's repetitive, and very few people unsubscribe. And one thing that Brad was always saying is, he's like, look, if they unsubscribe, they were never going to buy anything anyway. The people that you engage are worth the small amount of people that you lose. And he's been right.
Brilliant. I gotta get cracking on that. My two of my goals, my mantras for 2015, margin and email. I think I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. So I gotta start making like Bill here and getting after it.
The last thing I'll say in email is that I forget where I read this, but it's totally true. Email is the only way you have to connect with your customers that you own completely. When you think about, how people find you and interact with your brand, Google, one small algorithm update can nuke you. Amazon, same thing, new competitor, new algorithm tweak can nuke you. All of these ways you have to pay, or you're at the whim of other people to connect with your audience. I mean, even Facebook, like just recently Facebook made a bunch of changes where, people had built up all these fans, and then Facebook was like, oh, now you're going to have to pay to reach them. And Facebook took people's audiences away from them. Email is the only medium where you totally own your audience and you can connect directly with them, unless they're literally typing your URL directly into their location bar, which almost nobody does. So keep that in mind. I mean, that's why email is really so important, because you can own your audience and connect with them directly without a middleman.
So my first big win was really mastering one channel, one inbound marketing channel, and executing on it really well early on to build a solid foundation. So that's one thing with when I got started. I spent a lot of time investing in SEO training and SEO education. And really for the first 18 months, that's all our team did, and all I did was to focus on SEO. And it really laid the foundation for probably was the next 5 to 6 years. It's interesting because early on, I think sometimes people focus on too many channels. I think when you're right out of the gates, finding one that you can do really, really well and just hammering that home and getting good at that is probably one of the best ways that you can get a business off the ground. But what I'm learning is as I've kind of matured in the business, is to scale, to get past that kind of next level, you can't use that same approach. You really need to start going into all the channels that you profitably can, from email to advertising to everything. And I think that's something, that place where people get caught up, myself included. But early on, it was a huge, huge win for us.
Just focusing on SEO relentlessly?
Yeah, just focusing on SEO, and just really finding the one channel that worked for us and that I was good at and knew well, and just becoming a master of it, as opposed to spending a couple of days here and there doing SEO and a couple of days doing Facebook and maybe opening a Twitter and a Pinterest account and kind of doing a bunch of stuff half-heartedly and not real effectively. Picking one channel, the one that made the most sense for us, and just mastering it for the first couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So it's easy to half-ass a lot of stuff.
It is. So that worked for us. Second win for me, this was huge, and it sounds really simple, but it just changed my life. Hiring a bookkeeper. This literally freed up a month of my life every year, because we do a lot of transactions that are smaller dollar volume, and the reconciliation and the bookkeeping. It would take me a week every quarter to do it. And because it took so long, I would usually put it off. And so I'd be like two quarters behind. And so it would take like half a month and twice a year. It was terrible.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Oh, it was awful. And so I finally hired someone to do it, and it's been by far some of the best money I have ever spent in my life.
Yeah, I have a bookkeeper too. I don't know what I would do without them. Really, I'm not going back to that, those days.
You'd waste a month of your life every year.
Yeah, I would.
Next big win for you, Bill. You said doing an acquisition. What do you mean?
Oh yeah. That, I mean, when I look at, you know, kind of what moved the needle in big chunks for me in business doing acquisitions, I've now done two bolt-on acquisitions for Elements Brands, and both have been really transformative. You know, I bought Nurture My Body in 2013, and then just recently, about a week ago, I closed on the purchase of Mexitan Products that makes two different brands of sunscreen and bug spray. And doing an acquisition is really a way, you know, you can grind at it. And I gave a presentation at the e-commerce fuel conference, which everybody, I think, was pretty educational for a lot of folks, is that you could see there's so much work and so much grinding, and you can buy a lot of that, you can skip so much of the grind, and then you can apply the stuff that you already know, things like how to do email marketing, how to focus on SEO. You can apply your expertise with greater leverage, because you can do these things on, you know, a business that's $50,000 in revenue, and maybe you'll get it to 80, you know, or 100. But if you can apply it to a business that $500,000 in revenue, then maybe you get it to $1 million in revenue. It's the same tactics. So if you can find a good business to buy that's in your wheelhouse where you can apply your expertise, it allows you to be much higher leverage. And for me, that was both acquisitions are big wins. It really let me make big jumps and get leverage from my skills that more leverage than I would have gotten just applying it to my base business.
Bill, love the, you had a shot of you driving like some big U-Haul truck. You were moving inventory across Missouri after yes. The acquisition closed last
week. I just
week.
Did it again. I said I wouldn't do this, but I spent 2 days driving a 26-foot, 13-ton U-Haul full of sunscreen and aloe vera gel and tanning oil across the entire state of Missouri from the seller's facility to our facility, to our warehouse. Which is a repeat of, I did the same thing when I bought Nurture My Body. I drove a similarly sized truck from Seattle to Denver over the Rocky Mountains in February, which was terrifying. When they say that being an entrepreneur is glamorous, sometimes you're a truck driver also.
Hey man, if you buy your own rig and bring it in-house and need a CB hookup, I know the guy.
Right. Should have brought one.
Get you some screaming deals here.
Right.
Maybe we can do a swap sunscreen for CB radio products.
Right. Perfect.
The first time that's ever happened in the history of the world.
Right. Perfect.
So my next win, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago in the regrets episode, but I think it bears, you know, repeating and just kind of highlighting. For me, testing pricing to maximize for profitability versus revenue was huge. And it's funny because this was one of my regrets that I focused. I have probably been, as I think many entrepreneurs are, but especially myself, too focused on top line revenue versus bottom line, you know, net profit over the years. But I have, and I have wanted to do more price testing, but I have had especially one notable win where I think, you know, I spent just 2 or 3 days doing some price testing and again, increased the prices on my top 25 products by anywhere from 5% to 15%. And increase the overall profitability of the business by 35%. I mean, I'll be sharing the results of the redesign that we did, but you know, a redesign that gives you a 35% boost is nothing to cough about. But it took us 5 months to do that. We accomplished a similar change to bottom line in like 2 days of work. And so time to payoff is just so, so tremendous. That's how I hired my first full-time guy was almost exclusively based on a lot of the profits that came in from that. So yeah, again, one of my areas of focus is margin in 2015, and especially if your margins are low. I mean, you should always be doing this, but especially if you're in a lower margin business, that small increase in pricing, if your margins are 10%, you increase your pricing by 5% to your customer, they see a 5% price increase. Not a big deal. Not a game changer. To you, it increases your bottom line by 50%, which is crazy.
So how did you, I'm curious to know, how did you test that? Did you just change your prices and cross your fingers and watch the data, or was there a method to it?
Yeah, we did. I think I will be the first to admit it wasn't purely scientific. I think like guys like Francis Tiu, who are very scientifically minded on the conversion front, would probably have a heart attack looking over my methodology for this. But what we did is we looked at overall profitability, you know, profitability really per visitor. We had a metric that we looked at. And yeah, it was pretty much as simple as taking 1 month, having our standard pricing, taking our next month, and really just changing the pricing and tracking the profitability in months between, you know, the profitability in month A versus month B, controlling for seasonality. So we'd go back and we'd say, hey, if in general, you know, month B is 10% higher in revenue than month A, we'd go through and adjust for that. We also looked at our traffic and just to get a sense if there's any huge, you know, shifts in traffic or things like that. But it wasn't perfect, but you know, you see a 35% increase in your profitability and you can't spot anything else apart from that big pricing change you did. I was fairly confident that it was probably a good move.
And have you stuck with those prices still going forward?
We have, yeah. And we need to tweak them again, but we have. One of the things I'm great at is focusing. One of the things I'm terrible at is revisiting things as soon as I need to. So yeah. They've probably been in place for too long. Again, needing to retest more, but yeah.
Cool.
Bill, one of your big wins, another one was going to fulfillment by Amazon.
Yeah, this was a big jump for me. And again, another one I got dragged into kicking and streaming. Apparently, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box when it comes to this stuff. But a while back, I was back when it was just KP Elements. We were doing all of our fulfillment with Shipwire. And not that Shipwire is not great, but we were selling on Amazon and we were doing okay. And I had a friend, Mike McAdams of Drinkwell, and they make a supplement product for drinking, for hangovers rather. And he did all of it through FBA. And he was same thing, pounding the table. He's going, you have to do it. And I saw him at a trade show. He's like, you have to do it. You know, 6 months later, I saw him at another trade show. He's like, are you doing FBA yet? And I was like, oh no. And he was like shaking me like, dude, you have to do this. So finally I caved and I sent a case to Amazon of our main product, KP Elements, the skin cream. And the Amazon received it. And literally within 48 hours, our sales on Amazon had tripled. And I had done basically nothing different except send them revenue. Nothing changed. Just getting that little prime check mark. They basically increased our Amazon conversion rate and thus our revenue by 3x. And yeah, it created some additional hassles because I have to manage inventory in two places. But 3x, I mean, it's a huge win. So that, I mean, it's an easy win, but a huge win.
So when you're doing FBA, Amazon fulfills everything. And in terms of shipping, you don't have to pay any shipping if a Prime member buys from you when you have it at Amazon. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So not only did we 3X our sales, I saved the shipping cost that I was, you know, having to pass through or eat part of. It's a huge win just going to FBA for our sales on Amazon. I haven't used Amazon to do multi-channel fulfillment to fulfill our own website orders because they ding you with additional costs for that and whatnot. But going to Amazon, you know, making it Prime eligible and free, huge. And by the way, also Amazon, if you're an Amazon seller, you probably just got this email. Amazon recently tweaked their free shipping policies, and I think it will be a huge boon to third-party sellers on Amazon. It used to be that if a product was merchant fulfilled, it would not count towards the $35 free shipping minimum for standard shipping. So, you know, if you're not a Prime member on Amazon, you have to order $35 of stuff in order to get the free standard shipping. But it had to be $35 of Amazon fulfilled stuff. Just a week or two ago, Amazon changed the rule so that if you're selling a merchant fulfilled item and that merchant fulfilled item has free shipping, you're not charging the customer for shipping, it counts towards the $35 to get their basket high enough to get free shipping on their Amazon fulfilled stuff. Which I think they're doing it to incentivize more sellers to offer free shipping, but I also think it will really help conversion rate for third party merchant fulfilled sellers. So interesting little tweak. We'll see what happens with it. But still, I mean, if you are merchant fulfilled, that's great, but I would go to FBA and Prime if at all possible. It was a big win for me.
And then finally, last win, at least for me and Bill, it'll be interesting to hear your take. I think you would probably say this was a fairly big piece of where you've, what's helped you get to where you are as well, is building a team, but not doing it at a crazy fast rate, slowly and methodically building a team and systemizing processes. So I think I brought on my first VA about 9 months or so in the business. So really learned the ropes, built it from the ground up, figured out what took me a lot of time, brought on a VA. Brought on my first full-time stateside person about a year and a half into the business. So once there were some things that were higher touch that the VA wasn't maybe a good fit to do, I brought them on and then slowly have expanded from there. So I say the reason why slowly building a team is it didn't stretch me financially. It wasn't something where I was really, you know, super strapped financially, and it didn't put me in a negative mindset with employees that you have to produce. I was able to train them because I knew the jobs. I didn't feel rushed to do it. So I felt like I was able to get the right people in there. And of course, just getting a team, building a team is really hard. Anyone who tells you that it's easy is lying to you, or they have a terrible team that they don't care about. You know, it takes a lot of work and a lot of time, and you can make some pretty big mistakes that can really botch things. But there's no other way to be able to build a business and have it be able to create autonomy and freedom in your life, unless you're a programmer like Bill who can just use APIs to do everything. But if that's not you, then you have to build a team like I do to be able to make this thing work. And so just it's looking back on the things that I'm able to focus on now while my business runs, because I've invested time in training a team that can do things well. It's just been tremendous.
No, you know, you joke that, you know, I do everything with APIs, and I do try to do a lot with technology, but this has been 2014 for the year was the year for me where I hired my first, believe it or not, my first full-time in-house person to do sales. And I was really, really reluctant. You know, it was kind of a risk. And also I like to automate things. I also, as an entrepreneur, I think we all kind of feel like, oh, no one can do it as well as I can do it. You know, it's very hard to release control. But, you know, I mean, we did a episode, Andrew, you know, months ago about hiring and hiring process. And the person that I ended up hiring as a result has just been so great. I mean, really high leverage. She does stuff that would just never get done. You know, stuff that's not high enough on my priority list. You know, she innovates and says, hey, what if we did this? And I can just say yes, and then it happens. And that is magic, you know, for an entrepreneur to be able to just, someone comes to you with an idea and you say, yes, run with it. And then they do that. That's really cool. And the realization that I've come to, and maybe this seems obvious to other people, but, I really thought that I was an exception to the rule and that I could build a giant company without any human beings. But, I've really realized that there's such tremendous value in building a good team. It may still be a small team with lots of computers, but you really do need to build a team that is good, hire well, retain good people. And it's worth it to retain good people once you have someone who's good and trained up, because to lose them and to retrain somebody is really expensive and a huge hassle. That's been a lesson for me, is that computers can't do everything. And if you hire well, it's really high leverage.
Hey, man, I love it. Computers can't do everything. You do have to have some humans.
At least some humans. A few.
So just quick recap, our top wins in e-commerce: email marketing, mastering one channel early on and really, really just driving that home, being really effective at that versus diversifying into a lot that you don't know as well. Hiring a bookkeeper, doing an acquisition, testing pricing to maximize for profitability versus revenue, using FBA for fulfillment, and slowly building a great team. Bill, it'll be interesting. We'll have to do this again next year or the year after, see what's changed. But as always, man, it's been a lot of fun, and hopefully we can rack up a few more wins and keep the massive face palms to a minimum this next year.
Yep, hopefully so.
Awesome. Thanks, man. It's fun as always.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.
That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the e-commerce fuel private forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the forum at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.